We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Are we going to get whipsawed by weather once again? Is this the time for Rory to cash in on being the favorite? What about Tiger? That and a whole lot more here on the Gaming Golf Podcast with the British Open Preview. Everybody, welcome to the Gaming Golf Podcast, the British Open edition here. And I stuck the landing on opening for once. Usually it's been fumbling all over the place lately. So, hey, enough meta commentary. Guys, the British Open's upon us, our final major. The Scottish Open was another weather-dominated event. But at least, Scott, you were all over the winner, Xander Schauffele, to the point where Jeff listened to the podcast up in Michigan, went and placed a bet on it. So
Love it.
Like seeing that, like hearing it.
Love those looser sportsbook rules in the state of Michigan compared to my current state of Texas. So yeah, thanks for the tip last week. I when I'm not on the show, I am still, you know, an avid supporter of it. So thanks, appreciate it.
The wild thing was after Friday, Tringali was up three, I think, and he and Xander had the same odds to win at that point. And I was like, dude, Tringali's not winning this tournament. It was wild to me. Yeah. That I guess a 3-shot lead is huge on the weekend, but. Man, when he had some of those names behind him, I couldn't see betting him. It was 4-1 after Friday. There was just no way.
I had Tringali on my season-long team last year, and he was amazing on Thursdays and Fridays. And then the TV coverage would come on, and he wasn't the same. And
dude, you know, even for pros, golf on the weekend is a whole nother sport.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And no, he had a pretty decent year, and I think one of these times he's actually going to break through and get that win. But it wasn't going to be there, and then. Especially with the weather conditionings evening out and, you know, not being getting the benefit of the better tee times. Like, yet again, we had another tournament there where weather has been a predominant storyline. It really crushed us at TPC, and it crushed us on Thursday for the Scottish Open.
Yeah, and it could happen this week, although we don't know. I haven't checked the weather today, but I checked yesterday, and it looked like the same forecast for all 4 days, which – frankly, I put no faith in whatsoever. Been to Scott. I don't think it's ever happened where you have four straight days of the exact same weather in northeast Scotland. So no, we don't know what's going to happen. Right now, the forecast seems like, you know, 10, 20 mile an hour winds, cool, you know, sweaters in the morning, polo shirts in the afternoon and play on. But we know there's going to be twists and turns with this thing. There always are.
Yeah, I'm looking at windfinder.com right now, and it looks pretty pretty consistent through the days, but that's one of those things you just got to keep tracking. This tournament especially, the kind of hidden stuff here is that there's no split tees of this tournament, so there's no, like, guys starting 1 and 10. There is a 10-hour time difference between the first guy tee off and the last group tees off. It is an insane difference. Like, the waves here are more significant than they are in any other tournament because they don't split the tees and kind of compact the times. It looks like the wind's straight, but you get any kind of shift right there, and it makes a huge, huge difference.
Oh, yeah,
this event. Completely. It's just the way they spread it out so much. I looked at that. I couldn't believe it was a 10-hour difference. I think the first guy tees off at 6:30 in the morning, last group at like 4:15 in the afternoon. I think it stays light till like 10 o'clock in Scotland. So, yeah, if you want to go strategy, play a lot of lineups, I think you've got to have some morning waves, some afternoon waves, and kind of put those together just to stack in case. You only play a couple lineups. It looks right now that the wind's pretty standard the whole way. So maybe you don't have to worry about it. That's one of those things I would check, Wednesday evening before tee off, and definitely lock that down as much as you can.
Yeah. And I can attest to the late, it's light until 10 o'clock, and it was in Dublin at least. And I know Scotland's even a little, St. Andrews is even a little farther north, if I'm not mistaken. And still in July, you're going to have more extremes as far as it goes. It also gets light at like 4:30 in the morning too. So there's not much darkness there. No one really wants to get my experiences on daylight and in Northern Climb. So we'll move on and actually address this tournament here. So the betting favorite almost everywhere, the DraftKings favorite everywhere is Rory McIlroy. He hasn't won a major, though, since 2014. I know he's in good form recently. Do you think he's justified as the favorite here at 11,100 and the betting favorite as well?
I think he's like – he's the karmic, cosmic favorite, right? Like, it just feels like – of course, it's got to be Rory's time. He's been close this year already, made a run at the Masters, hung around the U.S. Open. Just feels like he's got a win on tour. It just feels like it's all building to this. It's St. Andrews, special place, one of the most, hallowed grounds in golf. Surely, Rory McIlroy's name belongs among, the St. Andrews Open winners. But the cosmos don't always line up. I mean, the last time it was at St. Andrews, it was Jordan Spieth's time. Clearly, he was on his way to potentially a Grand Slam before it just didn't happen. It took it all the way to the 72nd hole. So, yeah, Rory deserves to be the favorite. This is a tough price to pay in DraftKings. It's a tough price to pay. It's usually about 10-1 odds. In the sports books, those are for so many guys playing this well, those are tough odds to take on, but
right.
I do think he deserves to be the favorite. I just don't know, it's tough to put him in those lineups.
Yeah. I mean, I think he deserves to be the favorite too. And it just feels like, as Jeff says, it's his week. I mean, he's out there joking around with Tiger and they're playing rounds together, playing in Ireland last week. It's an interesting range. Cause usually in events like this, it's like, oh my God, this range is so stacked, but you could poke a few more holes in this range than normal. I mean, John Rahm lost an approach last week in Scotland, not ball striking as well. He's still John Rahm. Scotty Scheffler missed the cut last week, was really bad around the greens and putting, but still Scotty Scheffler. I get it. And Justin Thomas has not played well on Lynx golf course. Never had a top 10 at the Open Championship. Missed the cut last week, putted really badly, kind of average everywhere else. In this 10 plus range, I kind of look at the top and the bottom. I think Rory and Spieth are my two favorites in this range.
Yeah, let's go through price by price here. In the top rate price range, Rory's at 11.1, Scotty Scheffler's at 11,000, Rahm's at 10.8, JT's at 10.5, Morikawa 10.3, defending champ of the British Open, and Jordan Spieth at 10,000. So you said you like both in this range, you like Rory and Spieth. It's hard not to like Spieth. I mean, the price is locked before his performance last week. And when we get to the next range, another player is going to predominantly be at a lock price, will be mega rostered. But I think roster percentage will be really high with Jordan Spieth. This is the only problem.
He just plays well in these kind of plays. He played 8 British Opens and he's 4 top 10s, never missed a cut, just missed a playoff here at this course in 2015, as Jeff mentioned earlier, when Zach Johnson won. He's like creative around the greens, just the stuff you need to do to play well in these tournaments. I mean, you want to be long hair, but because you get shorter approaches, but you can just do so many different things. You have to be good around the greens. You have to be creative. You got to avoid three putts. It just feels like Spieth does all that stuff well. So if I'm going to go this range, it's Spieth, or if I'm playing up, I'm going Rory. I think he's a little tick above the rest of the group right now.
I agree. I got the same two guys. And I think for me, Morikawa is maybe even an active fade. I just don't know. It can come and go with him, I think, but I haven't seen him on his game. Like Scott said, Rahm has been a little bit hit or miss. Scheffler, we haven't really, I feel like he's the most underrated number one golfer we've had in a while. I feel like people are just kind of waiting for this run to end. But he still pops up. He didn't look great though last weekend at Scottish, and you don't know, Lynx golf's a whole different skill set. And so we just know Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth are two guys that can thrive in this type of golf. So
didn't Scheffler get tea time though? Wasn't he part of that afternoon wave on Thursday?
Yeah, so. He was. So, yeah. But I think you could go Rory Spieth. You could. There's so many names in the nines and eights. You could skip the tier and try to play it down.
I think there will be a lot of temptation to do that. Let's talk about that, not the nines, because there really are. Xander won his last two tournaments. That's all. He's at 99. Fitzpatrick won the U.S. Open. He's at 97. Zalatoris, 96. Cam Smith, 95. Cantlay, 94. Shane Lowry, 93. Dustin Johnson, 92. Hideki Matsuyama, 91, and Victor Hovland, 9,000. Jeff Ritter, we'll start with you.
So I think, Xander is the hottest player in golf right now. It's hard to go back-to-back wins. At this, you know, I think when he won the Travelers, I was trying to dig that out. I think he took a week off afterwards, whereas now he's right back to
right.
It,
he didn't play the deer.
I don't. Yeah, for sure. We're gonna ride, but it's tempting to ride the wave here. I mean, a guy who just might be finally putting it together as someone who's, you know, maybe not won as much as we would have thought 6 months ago, and now is starting to make up for it. Now the positive regression, as they call it, might be starting to happen here. So Shoffley at this price is still tempting me. I think he's underpriced. I think he belongs in that top, in that higher tier. These prices were probably set before the Scottish, like we, you know, like as we said with others, but he's my favorite off the tier, I think. And also, I mean, also up high, Fitzpatrick, this is a kind of course that would appeal to him. This is, you know, the wedge game is going to really drive this thing. I don't think you need to be the longest driver at St. Andrews to thrive. I mean, we're going to see guys hitting 400 yard drives this week with 15 mile an hour winds, and the course is dry as it's reported to play. It's going to be about control, and it's going to be specifically about control with wedge shots and who can just start sticking the shots in there, and just leaving themselves 3 to 5 footers for birdie all day long. That's a Matt Fitzpatrick special right there. So don't overlook the chance that, you know, your most recent major champion could go right back out and win again. And then I think to dial up the old song for Scott, I think Hideki Matsuyama also is interesting down there in the low nines for the same reason. He's got a very good wedge game. He's got a major under his belt. I like him this week too.
I love this range. This is a great range. I think you can absolutely skip the top and build here. I mean, it's impossible to go away from Xander right now, on fire. And not only won last week, but led the field in tee to green, was top 10 in approach. So, like, all the stats back it up to 6 straight top 20s. There's not much else to say here except the fact that he's just grossly underpriced. If they price him after the Scottish last week, he's probably 10-7, 10-8, something like that. The guy I really like in here, and I think he's going to get lost a little bit between Fitzpatrick and Zalatoris and Cantlay and Lowry, is actually Cameron Smith at 9,500. I think he'll be low rostered in this group. It feels like he just has the right type of game for a course like this. He's creative around the greens. He was 10th last week at the Scottish Open, putted really well. He missed the cut at the U.S. Open. That was really surprising, but, you know, has obviously played well this year. I just think he's a really good fit for this kind of golf. I think he's going to a guy that can get the ball up and in. He's not going to three putt. He's really good avoiding three putts. I really like him. I think it's kind of a game theory play too, because I think there's going to be a lot of people around him that be very highly rostered. And I think Cam Smith is not quite as big a name as those. And I think he's going to slide in really nice as we get at a low percentage. And I really like that play. And also Shane Lowry, 9,300. He won the British in 2019. He was top 12, or tied for 12 last year. 9 straight top 35s before the weird miscut at the U.S. Open. He was 10th at the Canadian before they hit it great. He just had a great season too. And I think you have Will Zalatoris at 9,600. The guys played, you guys played 3 majors here. He's top 6 in all 3 of them. Like, it's just freaking elite stuff. Last 9 majors, he has 6 top 10s. He just plays really, really well in really, really hard tournaments and great fields. And he hit the ball well last week. He missed the cut, Scottish, but he gained on approach. He just putted really badly. And that will be the bugaboo for him this week, is how can he putt? Can he avoid those 3 putts? He was 144th in the field in putts per round last week. So really a problem there. But, man, I think you can go. There's 3 or 4 guys here that are really great plays at the price.
Man, hearing this, just talking, you guys talking about the $9,000 range, it feels to me like, okay, we're going to be playing multiple lineups this week, and hard to get around that. But
it's a major. You got to do it.
Right. It's the last major.
The last major. This might be the last major we ever have for a while with every player playing too, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Guys aren't going to have points to qualify next year, I think.
We're going to get that wave of cuts in our season-long league after this week too. I can't wait to wash my hands of Brooks.
I've got the cut DJ button ready to press. It's Thursday when he tees off.
Yep, absolutely there. All right, 8,000. So we like the $9,000 tier. What about the $8,000 tier? Seems like some other good names. It's smaller. It's not a huge tier in terms of just name numbers, but let's go through it. Sam Burns at 89, Louis at 88, Tyrrell Hatton coming off a really good tournament at 87, Tommy Fleetwood 86, Brooks Koepka 85, Tony Finau 84, Sung J.M. 83, Corey Connors 82, Bryson 81, and Joaquin Niemann 8,000. Scott, you get to go first this time.
Fascinating range because it's kind of guys that are all over the place. Like all the early in the 9,000s, like we really like this guy, This is a range where finding the right guys in here might end up being the one who wins wins GPPs. The two guys I like Tommy Fleetwood a lot at 8,600. He was fourth at the Scottish Open last week. He was top 15 in shots gained to the green. He's top 33 the last four Open Championships, including a second in there. They play the Dunhill Championship here every year. They play two of the four rounds here. They're kind of like the Pebble Tournament where there's round or, you know, three different courses. And they play the last one at St. Andrews. He has four top 10s in that event. His last nine PGA events, eight made cuts, five top 16s, playing really well, you know, stateside also. You look at the majors this year, he has two top 15s, 14th in the Masters, 5th in the PGA. I think he's priced really well. He feels like someone to me that's going to be in contention on Sunday. I think he really wants one badly too, especially an Open Championship. I like him a lot at 8,600. My other guy here I like is Tony Finau, just playing great golf right now. You look at the last 24 rounds for this field, he's top 10 in tee to green, ball striking, short game off the tee and around the green. Hit it great last time he played at Travelers, gained 8 tee to green, 5.6 on approach. Plays this event really well. Top 10 in the British in 2018, 2019. He's T15 last year. So has good good history in link style courses. He has three top 15s, last 4 months. I think Finau has fully turned it around. Plays well in big events, plays well in good fields. Give me Fleetwood and Finau in this range, 8,600 and 8,400.
Well, we're dead on match. In this
Oh, event. I love those it. I like to hear that.
Those are my two guys. Finau's never missed a cut in Open. He just kind of has that track record of hanging around. I love Fleetwood for all the reasons you said. And also, I think he was fourth or he was top five last week at the Scottish, was he not? So
he was fourth, yeah.
Has coming back around. Those are my two favorites. I would also endorse a Joaquin Niemann pick off, I believe he's 8,000. Yeah. Maybe not as sharp as we've seen him earlier in the year, but I just still think he's kind of a big game hunter. And I think he can cash – I think you pay off that price, but Fleetwood and Finau were my two off the 8,000 tier. I like
what
them
do
both.
You got? What do you guys do with Louis? You know, two opens at St. Andrews, finished first and second, three top tens lately. I just don't know how to really rank those. Like, it was two were on the Live Tour, one was on the DP Tour. What do you do with someone like this that, you know, playing really well on the Live Tour, but I don't really know what that means?
Yeah, exactly. I just like the other two guys more, but definitely I could see using him in lineups. This is a course that obviously speaks to him, appeals to him in a style of golf. So, and he did do pretty well on the Live Tour. You know, he hasn't really done much outside of those two Live events, but he's, you know, the last two times we've seen him, he's played all right. Definitely a wild card. I think of the Live golfers, well, I'd still go DJ, I guess, if I had to pick any Live golfer, but Louis is sort of interesting still.
It's just hard to, know how well those guys are or not playing. It makes it really tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was all set to suggest as a game theory thing, like as a roster build. You love those that $9,000 tier so much, go three and then skip the eights. But you know, hearing your ringing endorsements of Fleetwood and Finau, I'm kind of scratching that plan. But you know, you can't have everybody. You know, it's that's the thing. It's like I was trying to figure a way around it. And I thought that might be a way. I might build one roster like that anyhow. But yeah, you know, it is hard to pass those guys up though at the same time. Before we move into the $7,000 tier, quick note from our Blue Wire sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
And we're back. We're hitting the 7,000s. As always, it's a copious tier. Let's go top half, bottom half. I will mention them this time by name because, they all deserve mentioning here. At least in this upper level here. 79, Max Homa, grossly underpriced. Cam Young is at 78. Bobby Max at 78. Leishman, 77. Adam Scott, 77. Abe Anser, 76, along with Webb Simpson. At 75, we got Billy Horschel, Paul Casey, and Tiger Woods. Jeff Ritter, who do you like in this tier?
Well, Max Homa is underpriced. He's a fast-rising player. He's getting more comfortable in these big events. He's won out on tour. His time in a major is fast approaching, and I like that price a lot. It does feel like a misprice to me. I also think Adam Scott is kind of interesting here at 7,700. I mean, he's done everything but win an Open in his career. And I feel like you're always going to see a 40 something pop up in these tournaments. Even when we say this is a young guy's game and it's just, you know, so there's going to be a 40 something in the top 10. It's just, it will happen. I think Adam Scott has a good shot to be that guy this week. And I think at that price, he could still pay off. So those are my two favorites. I won't, you know, if you want to hold the Tiger Woods ticket for the same reason as the Rory McIlroy ticket, that's fine. I think Tiger's going to make the cut. And I think just sheer grit alone, he's 7,500, right? I didn't jump ahead, did I? Okay. So
no, correct.
I mean, like, I don't think Tiger Woods is going to win this tournament, but the fact that he's had it circled on his calendar, this event was probably, you know, if you just read the tea leaves, a big part of his rehab was getting ready for this week and to go play a St. Andrews Open. I think he's going to make the cut. I think he's going to have his best major of 2022. So at this price, he might pay off if he finishes 25th. So I could get behind him maybe in a daily fantasy lineup.
Yeah. Overall, I like the lower sevens a little more than the upper sevens. I think it's going to be a big shock to you guys, but I really like Max Homa at this price at 7,900. I don't need to go into it too much, but just he's playing too well for this person. I love the fact that he went and played, 18 extra holes and like pushed his own bag on the cart because he wanted to play some more Ireland Lynx golf on Friday after he made the cut. I thought that was really cool. And then came
at North Berwick. Yeah. I saw that. Did you read the article about that course? No.
It's awesome.
Like, it's a great club. A lot of pros were hanging out there and many others played. In fact, he was playing a match with Joel Damon.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
And they asked Damon, is there any other stop where you guys just, he goes, never. Nothing like this. I mean, who goes and plays an extra round? And then he turns around and shoots a 66 on Saturday, too.
It was awesome. Yeah, I mean, Homa's last miscut was at the Farmers in January. He was 16th last week. Did struggle a little bit on approach, but he was really good off the tee, really good tee to green. He played really well in the greens. I like to see that in a Lynx course. 9 top 25s, last 11 events. You look at the last 24 rounds, he ranks in the top 20 in a whole bunch of different stats. So, I mean, 7,900, I think he has to be popular at this price. I mean, he's got a lot of attention recently. Everybody liked that story last week, playing really well. I'm just going to eat the chalk on this one and play him. I think under 8,000 is as good as it gets. And in this top range, there's not a lot of other guys that I'm jumping on. The other guy here is actually Tiger Woods, 7,500. I think the key is this is the easiest course he's played for him to walk. It's much less hilly than Augusta and Brookline where, or no, I mean, and wherever the PGA was where he had to stop after three
Southern
three
Hills,
rounds.
Yeah.
Southern Hills, that's right. He had to stop after three rounds.
Anything with like the name two, Hills in it is probably a good sign that's a tough walk.
So maybe that's going
to
be tough.
And he skipped the U.S. Open to play here. It's the 150th. He's won here twice. I'm with Jeff. I think he makes the cut. And so you have 100. Like, you don't really need that much more than that. And would it shock anybody? I mean, we've had some older guys at the Open Championship do really well. It wouldn't shock me if he's, not winning, but maybe Sunday sniffing around the top 20, top 25. And, you know, his price is really low. I mean, he was in the 8,000s for those other events. We're like, yeah, we just can't do that. 7,500, he makes the cut. I mean, that's going to work fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Lower 7,000. Seamus Power, Justin Rose, Sergio, and Lee Westwood are all at 7,400. 73. Taylor Gooch has never won the British Open at St. Andrews, but he thinks that Pumpkin Ridge was just like it. Also joining him is Mito Pereira, Patrick Reed, Christian Bezuidenhout, and JT Poston. He's only won twice, always wins twice, so he's done. 7,200. Harold Varner, Keegan Bradley, Russell Henley, Sebastian Munoz, Jason Kokrak, Thomas Peters, Jordan Smith, freshly added to, I believe, Scott's roster in our season-long league. 7,100, Sahith Theegala, Gary Woodland, Ian Poulter, Ryan Fox, Francesco Molinari, Adrian Meronk, I don't know him, Victor Perez, and then 7,000s, Aaron Wise, Cameron Tringali, Kevin Na, Harris English, Tom Hoagie, Siwoo Kim, Danny Willett, Bernd Wiesberger, and Henrik Stenson. And this is why I don't enumerate every single one of these guys in the 7,000s. It got quite copious there in a bit. So, Scott, you said you like this tier.
I do. You like? Adrian Meronk, by the way, is the Polish Tiger Woods. So that is you should definitely know who that is.
Okay. Good to know.
He also knows, I think he's the Polish giraffe also. He's got all kinds of nicknames. Also known as Aquaman. It's very strange. He has a lot of nicknames. But I love this range. First of all, at the top here, I really like Seamus Power in this range, 7,400. Top 25 in three of his last four. Look at Seamus Power's majors this year. I mean, he's not a name that we think of a ton as a guy that's competing in majors, but 27th the Masters, 9th the PGA, 12th the U.S. Open. That's really good work right there in great fields. He played last in the Irish Open, so like a home course for him. He finished 30th there. He was 25th the Travelers, 12th the U.S. Open, last two PGA events. Playing really good golf right now. I think it's 7,400. Very, very workable there. And then a couple of DP Tour guys. I'm going to go back to Jordan L. Smith. I like that he goes with L in there. He was 24th the Scottish last week. He was pretty good stats, but you look a little bit before that. Playing really well in the Euro Tour. He was top 25 in five tourneys since May 1. Leads the DP Tour in shot gained off the tee. Third in shot gained tee to green. 21st in shot gained approach. So a really good ball striker. And a guy who obviously plays well in these type of courses on the DP Tour. Played pretty well last week at the Scottish. And then going back to the Fox. Ryan Fox. Again, a guy that's just playing unbelievable golf on the DP Tour. He has a win, 3 seconds, a third, and a T8 on the DP Tour this year. Did miss the cut at the U.S. Open, but he was 54 at the PGA. Gained really one approach there, so hit the ball well. Another guy, third on the DP Tour in shot gain total and shot gain approach, fourth overall in shot gain tee to green, like an elite ball striker on their tour. Was 47th last week. Didn't play great, but didn't play badly. So give me Fox, Smith, and Seamus Power, all kind of DP Tourish guys.
Nice. I'm with you on Power. The major championship track record speaks for itself, even though he's relatively new to this whole major championship thing. He's comfortable out there. You feel like this type of setup might be his most comfortable setup of all. So I like Seamus Power a lot this week. I think Gary Woodland surprised me that he popped in the Scottish Open last weekend, but he's a streaky player and he might be kind of coming into form here at the right time. I think that's a really good price for him in the lower sevens. And then Christian Bezuidenhout. I used to have that down. I need to hear him on TV more to get the full to get that name right from start to finish. But he was second at the Deer and 16th at the Scottish, so he might be coming into form as well. I like him at that price.
Yeah, with Woodland, it was interesting. He was so good on Thursday, and then just kind of averaged the rest of the way through. But that was enough to get him 30th still in Scotland. So. But yeah, 64 on Thursday. It was short of Tringali, but better than the rest of the pack. So pretty darn good there. Let's move quickly into the 6,000s. Who are our cheapies? Who's the guy that allows us to afford that extra $9,000 guy or a top tier guy?
Well, for me, if you take distance, anytime you're playing a course where distance is not at a premium, I start to look to one of my guys in the season-long league, Kevin Kisner. So I like him at 6,900, where, again, it's a driver wedge tournament for the most part and around the green tournament. So this is definitely a place where Kisner could hang. And then the other guy I flagged, I'm not really proactive at, would be at either guy, but if you're just stuck and you've got to take someone in the 6,000s, I've just got this feeling of like there's going to be an old man hanging around. I mentioned Adam Scott already. Stewart Cink still has game. And so I don't know, you know, it's former champ, obviously won the Open that no one wanted to see him win because he took it from Tom Watson. I don't think he's going to steal another claret jug from someone else this week, but all you got to do is make a cut down there. I think Stewart Cink has enough game this week to maybe do that.
Was that your Masters Cup there, Jeff?
Oh, it is.
That was nice. Yeah.
That was well played. I like that. That was very, very sneaky.
I wasn't trying to display it. It just worked out that way.
But, I really like this range this week. I think there are multiple names here that are playable. I think it's going to be very helpful to get, you know, an extra guy in the eight or nine snuck in your lineup. First off, at 6,500, you just look straight at last week. You've got Joo Hung Kim, a South Korean 20-year-old. He was third at the Scottish Open last week. His last 17 starts worldwide, most of those on the Asian Tour, he has 10 top 10s. He was 10th in tee to green at the Scottish last week. So not only finished well, but hit the ball well. He finished 23rd at the U.S. Open. Like, I don't even remember that, but I looked at the stats. He was there. Did miss the cut at the PGA, but 17th in the Byron Nelson. So had some good events in big fields. You look at the Asian Tour, four straight top 10s of events he played April to June of 2022. The guy's 20 years old. He's 39th in the world in the official world golf rankings right now. I mean, just playing really well. He's 6,500. He would not be 6,500 if they had the Scottish Open results in there before the salaries came out. But really low price for guys playing really good golf right now. In that same vein, Haotung Lee is 6,900. He won the BMW Championship on the DP Tour in June. He was pretty good about 3 years ago. Went through this huge thing, almost quit golf. He was teary when he won his event. Like, he's like, I almost quit this game. But five top 20s this year on the DP Tour. He led the entire field in shot green approach last week at the Scottish Open. He finished 55th. Didn't drive it great. That's not as big a problem here. The fairways are really wide open. But that shot green approach leading the whole field really jumped out to me. So I do like Haotung Lee. And finally, Emiliano Grillo at 6,700 played great at the Deer. He finished tied for second there. Gained really well, 8.5 tee green, 4.3 off the tee. He's made six of his last seven cuts. He's someone that was a really good player a few years ago. Kind of had some struggles, and he's getting it back. He's been really good tee to green three of his last four events. Profiles a guy who can play well in some tough conditions too. I think 6,700. He's very playable to make the cut here also.
He was a President's Cup player, Grillo. He was a rising star a few years ago. He was on the team that blown out at Liberty National. The internationals were
it's interesting that the week. President's Cup track record hasn't tracked like the Ryder Cup. It's been pretty one-sided, which, you know, it was close that one year in Australia. Where Patrick Reed's brother got in a fight with a fan and all that.
That's the one the U.S. came way back late, right?
Yeah, that's right. The singles on Sunday, Saturday here. But Jeff, okay. So go ahead. Sorry. No, go ahead.
I was going to talk about the President. I just remember that President's Cup, them coming back and it being late at night and watching. It was fun.
Yeah, I think because it was on at that time, I watched more of it than I usually do.
I did too. It was like on midnight for like West Coast time. It was perfect.
Yeah, it was great. Jeff, who do you like in the 6,000s?
Oh, well, for me, it was Kisner Cink.
That's right. You did it first. I want to throw this wild card out. We finished second last week. Kurt Kitayama. He is such a boomer bust guy. He boomed last week. Does Link style golf work for him, or is this just lightning in a bottle?
It's hard to know with someone that you just haven't seen much of, you know, yet, but it's possible. I think, you know, at that price range, you're just looking for a reason, right? And if you make the cut, you're ahead of the game. So you just gave us a pretty good reason.
He's pretty legit last week. It wasn't like a fluky putting week. He was 12th in the field, tee to green, 34th in approach, 36th off the tee, 22nd around the green. Like, played really well kind of across the board. It was a really good week for Kitayama. And you're right. When he booms, he booms.
Yeah, third in the Honda Classic in February. Yep. Second in the Mexico Championship. And then, you know, second last week, 15th at Wells Fargo. So, but in between there, three straight missed cuts before his second place finish. So, including the Irish Open – the week before. Did qualify for the U.S. Open. Did not make the cut. But I don't know. He might be someone I might take a flyer on with one of my lineups. I think that's one of those you don't use him in all of your lineups. In fact, most of these cheapies, I think I feel that way, that you need to kind of spread out your risk a little bit.
For sure. Splash it around. DraftKings thanks you for the multiple entries.
Right. Exactly. Let's move on to SI Sportsbook and look at our betting sheet. Jeff Ritter, who do you like for the betting sheet?
Well, I'm going to go with the mid odds this time. Like we said, I think Roy McIlroy deserves to be the favorite. I think it'd be a great story if he won, but I can't play him at 10-1. So I've started Fleetwood at 33-1 for all the reasons that Scott mentioned. We were perfectly aligned in that 8,000 tier. So I want to take advantage of it in the sportsbook side. So Fleetwood at 33-1, Tony Finau 45-1. I think Hideki's kind of interesting, 40-1. I think those are too long odds on him. And then I got a Ryan Fox top 10 at 6-1. He's pretty much become the gaming golf sleeper. So got to do something there. So those were my first picks that I circled in the sports book.
These are always tough weeks for me because I want to bet everybody, but obviously you can't do that money wise or odds wise, but I'm going to, there's three guys I'm taking for sure. Kind of in that Jeff range. I'm going Fleetwood 33-1, Finau 45-1 and Max Homa 50-1. Those are all slam dunks for me. And then I got to figure out, between 20 and 30, there's a lot of guys I like. I've probably only bet a couple of them. Definitely going to bet Cam Smith at 22-1. I think this is a good week for him. And then it comes down to kind of a value play. Do you want to go Will Z, who with all the major finishes at 25-1, or JT at 20-1? I know he's not played well here, but I'm going to go Justin Thomas. You give me him 20-1 in any golf event, especially a big one. I'm just going to go ahead and take the fact that he's been bet down because of the lack of British Open experience. So I'm going to go JT at 20-1. If Colin Morikawa wins, someone slap me because I'm pretty sure I have a sign somewhere that says bet him anytime he's 25-1 to hire. I just can't do it the way he's playing right now. But I'm going to be really pissed if he wins. I actually not because he's my favorite player. But I'll be upset with myself if he wins for not doing that. But I'm going JT, Cam Smith, Fleetwood, Finau, and Homa. Then a couple darts way down the board as some top 10, top 20s. I think Emiliano Grillo's 250-1, and he's 16-1 to be a top 10. Jordan Smith, 125-1, 10-1 to be a top 10. I like those as a couple bucks on some darts late.
Yeah. As always, I love those options right there. I like the layout there on the SISportsbook.com, and you can check that out for yourself.
Anybody going Tiger Woods at 80-1?
No, I'm not. I don't have the ability to do so either, but,
a fun ticket on Sunday to hold, but yeah, I don't think you can do it either.
Yeah. I'll be rooting like heck for it if it does happen.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely.
What a story.
Yeah. I'd be going crazy. Awesome. I'd be going crazy here too.
Let's close up with one and done. We're at the point in the season where, we've used a good chunk of our pool. So I want you to tell me who you're taking in our pool and then who you would take if you had the whole pool available to you. I'm going to make it a little harder for you this week. It's a major. Come on, guys. Got to step it up here. So I made Jeff go first here before. So, Mr. Jenstad, you go first.
If I had everybody available and just was doing a one and done and trying to win the most money, it would absolutely be Rory. Pretty much pretty easy click there. I have used Rory. I actually have someone available that I do like this week that I don't think would be popular. I'm going to go Cameron Smith. I have him available. I've used on our pool here. We got it ranked the top 20, top 30. I've used all of the top 14. Cameron Smith's the only one I have not used, and I happen to really like him this week, so that's going to be my pick this week.
I think I would go Spieth first if I had him available. I don't have Rory available. He would probably be my second, maybe third pick. Fitzpatrick would be tempting, but I've used him. Fleetwood would be kind of tempting, but I've used him. And Homa would be tempting, but I've used him. So ironically, the two guys that I show that kind of jump out as most tempting are Cam Smith and Justin Thomas. And so I will – Smith is very tempting. I did take note of the arguments, the case you made for Cam Smith earlier, but I will just ying where you yang, and I'll take Justin Thomas.
JT to major. I mean, that's never going to be a bad pick. I like that one, and I think everybody's probably used him too, so you probably get him in a very, very low roster ship.
If I had him available, I'd go Xander for the triple.
I like it.
I just think people are going to shy away from it because he's won. Yep. And I think that cost people when Scheffler was red hot earlier this year. People being me, because I still have Scheffler available. So that's who I'm going to use. And my backup on the site will be Fitzpatrick. Pretty boring stuff otherwise.
Got to figure there are not many people who have Scheffler available, though. I think that you'll be pretty you might be on an island with that one.
Yeah, a solo Scheffler, that'd be fine. I feel sorry for Scheffler's backers because my track record outside the Canadian Open is not very good. So
yeah, but look how good you are in events that aren't in the United States. You're perfect.
No, not true.
Scottish Open, darn. One for your last two. How about that?
Yeah, one out of two ain't bad. That's a permutation of meatloaf there. So
if you were on Sunday morning, betting tout, you'd be a 50% pick and winners. It'd be perfect.
I call my 1-900 line for my can't miss pick, and then I'll have two different answers. And there you go, can't miss. All right. Any other parting thoughts?
You know, I think if you could get odds on a scoring record this week, I would be interested to know that. One of the fun things about being overseas for this event is you can walk into a sports book in Scotland and basically just throw out a bet idea, and they just get on a telephone. I don't know where they call or who they call, but they call somebody. And they could potentially write you a ticket if it's not on the board. And so I think the scoring record could be endangered this week. It's 20 under is the that was Stenson at 2016 when he and Mickelson just went crazy at Troon. But I think Tiger was 19 under at St. Andrews. I think that's a bet that's not on the board in there, you know, your DraftKings that I – but if there was a chance to make that bet, I would try to. It'd also be fun to root for it too. I mean, everybody, whoever you are out there, but birdie everything. But exactly. I think there's a real chance it could fall.
I really like that one, especially with the way I'm seeing the wind. I think someone gets a 20 under also.
There were betting parlors everywhere in Ireland, by the way. Just crazy. It's weird. I didn't even think about stepping in one of them, though, and like betting the Warriors or anything like that. I probably should have, but
you probably should have.
I know I should have. I would have won. Yeah. All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up. Thanks for chiming in. I'm not sure what we're going to do next week. We'll see, because I'll be unavailable. Well, maybe I'll do it from Vegas. Maybe we'll see. We'll figure it out.
What's the event next week?
Yeah, I thought you were going to, I was afraid you were going to ask me that. It's the week after the British tournament, whatever.
It is the 3M Open in TPC Minnesota. Twin Cities, Blaine, Minnesota.
Yeah, we have like three in a row. Like we got Rocket Mortgage after that, and
Wyndham after that, and then the FedEx starts after that.
So the Wyndham is like they try to pump up because they have their special Wyndham points thing and all that that really hasn't taken.
Guys are trying to sneak into the playoff, right?
Right, right. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see some big names that are trying to maintain their spot, but we'll see. Well, we'll figure it out. But maybe we'll do something short next week for the 3M. But anyways, thanks everybody for tuning in to Gaming Golf this week. Good luck on your British Open tickets, and we'll talk to you again soon.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.